You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
He was completely out of line. He totally distorted reality. And he made some inflammatory and, I believe, slanderous remarks about lying under oath, which is completely nonsense. I mean, and some of the things that he says are so distorted and out of tune with reality, I had to call him on that. I didn't enjoy it, but I had to do that because he was completely out of line, totally inappropriate.
Totally inappropriate, completely out of line. Dr. Fake. Dr. Fauci has appeared as the Senate committee and then was challenged by Senator Rand Paul. This is July 22nd, 2021. Dr. Fauci was appearing on one of the friendly networks at that point, explaining, I didn't want to challenge the senator. I respect the Senate, the senator. I respect all of that, but he was out of line. He's referring, of course, to where Rand Paul began by saying, Dr. Fauci, you know the penalty for perjury, lying before a members of Congress during an investigation, is a federal crime, perjury. And then went on to say, remarks you made in our last hearing back in May, when you were insisting that the Wuhan lab got no real contributions from you, and that the Wuhan lab and anything that was going on did not involve gain of function understanding of the virus, the so-called bat virus, originally. And Rand Paul pointed out that your bat woman, as she's called, the lead researcher at Wuhan, clearly said, yes, we were working on gain of function. And Fauci knew it. She didn't say that, but he obviously did know it. In fact, when he was asked at one point, what do you think about gain-of-function research? It's a good idea. We should. I mean, we need to see what this thing does and how to control it. On one point, I'm going to agree that we do want to know what's out there, how to battle it. I mean, that's how we battle every disease and everything we face. What are we going to do? What is needed? But, of course, with COVID, we've been all over the map. And when they say follow the science, which science are they trying to talk about? From the beginning, when Fauci said, oh, it's not going to be a big deal. You're not even going to need a mask. Masks won't do any good. All the way to the point now that even though you're vaccinated, you're probably still going to need a mask. But his main point is that I had to stand up. I had to stand up because Senator Rand Paul was making some slanderous remarks. Well, Senator Rand Paul says some of the remarks that Fauci had made compared to last testimony and what we've learned since, he said he's filing with the Department of Justice perjury charges to be filed against Fauci, wants him to look at it. But, you know, above and beyond these two personalities, and the battle over the wording and semantics because Fauci is saying, you don't know anything, Senator. You really don't understand anything. And then he tries to re-explain how so many apparently agree with him that this was not gain of function as it's normally understood. We all get lost in that. Now, the bottom line is for you and your family, what are you doing? What should you do? Are you willing to once again mask up as they're apparently talking about doing again? Are you ready to do that and get involved all over again with that same thing, even if you've been vaccinated? We're going to get into a lot of that for you over the next 2 hours. We're also going to be talking about this January 6th inquiry that Senator Pelosi is putting together. This is a typical kangaroo court. She's setting it up that way already. We can tell that. And again, we're going to have a military analyst say we should always be cautious about comparing Trump to Hitler, but he does it anyway. We're going to be joined by James Carafano for the Heritage Foundation, national security foreign policy expert, saying Biden must not return to the Obama policy regarding Cuba, which he appears to be doing. And also Stephen Breyer with the Center for Security Policy, an expert in security strategy and technology, and says Biden is failing to deal with the Chinese hackers. And in the midst of all this, parents are being heard in their fight back against CRT. You'll have the Biden administration and the left is saying, we're not really pushing that. We're not in favor of it. You're misinterpreting it, just as we're misinterpreting what they mean by defunding police. We've got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. You don't want to miss any of it. Let your family and friends know we are on the air right now. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
McCarthy says he'll yank his members and conduct his own probe if Pelosi doesn't accept his picks.
It's an egregious abuse of power. Pelosi has broken this institution. House Democrats must answer this question. Why are you allowing a lame duck speaker to destroy this institution?
Pelosi has already named GOP Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney to the committee.
The rhetoric that we have heard from the minority leader is disingenuous. At every opportunity, the minority leader has attempted to prevent the American people from understanding what happened.
McCarthy contends Pelosi is afraid to answer questions about the riot and security preparations from Jim Jordan. The committee's first hearing is next week with or without the GOP. The committee has a quorum. Reporters asked Pelosi for her response when McCarthy accused her of playing politics.
Had you mistook me for somebody who would care about that?
You might have had a hard time hearing because she's not sure she's only walking down the hallway. She's been vaccinated, but Pelosi has a mask on. So when she's asked, what do you have to say about McCarthy's points that why are the Democrats following a lame duck and doing this? Well, let me clarify without the mask on. And that is, she said, you must have me confused with somebody who really cares about that, about what McCarthy said. What exactly did Pelosi do? Well, you know, of course, the House Speaker, who is a lame duck, on her way out, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of California, wants a January 6th committee because they want to seek the truth about the cause of the deadly Capitol attack. Now, when they put these committees together, they bring an equal number of representatives from each party to sit on the committee. In this case, it's going to be a total of 10. It was going to be 5 Democrats and 5 Republicans. Well, each party gets to decide who's going to be on the committee. So, Minority Leader McCarthy said, I want to name among those 5 Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, and Jim Banks, Republican of Indiana. Now, both are Trump allies. Now, let's stop for just a second. Well, Larry, that doesn't seem right. If they're going to be sitting on this board of inquiry and they're Trump allies, that doesn't seem right. So Pelosi's right to take them off. What do you think the ones on the other side of the Democrat, how many do you think are anti-Trump allies? You want to guess? Let me see, there are 5. Oh, I'd say all 5. So it can't be for that reason. She's saying she took special exception with Banks, Congressman Banks, because he had made a statement at one time that the Biden administration must be investigated. So she didn't like that. And then she also didn't like Congressman Jordan. Now, Jordan has chaired and been on such committees before, so it's nothing really new to him at all. But she didn't want him on either because she said the same thing, the same paintbrush against Jordan as she did with Banks. They, quote, made statements and took actions that just made it ridiculous to put them on such a committee seeking the truth. Well, by God, I would say the same thing about the Democrats on the committee. And Nancy Pelosi herself, the things she has said. They're still telling lies about January 6th, about what Trump said. If you're watching only the state-controlled media, you're hearing it over and over and over again. And once this thing begins to fire up, because she wants to get it underway next week, with D.C. and Capitol Police testifying about their experiences defending the Capitol that day. So they're going to continue to do wall-to-wall coverage and continue to show the crowd gathered around Trump down the street from the Capitol when he's addressing them. And he does say, if they play it, but I wouldn't count on them, now go down there and march, let your voices be heard, and he's suggesting again in a peaceful fashion. That's your First Amendment right. To protest peacefully and freedom of speech. But we now know that there were already folks who wanted to call themselves patriots already planning to besiege the Capitol, to rush through Capitol Police and get inside and be disruptive of the proceedings as Congress was trying to certify the votes for the election. Some of the people that were listening to Trump probably did go down there. Some of them might have gotten there and actually taken part in some of the assault on officers. I don't know. But the majority of them did not go. And those inside the Capitol, the majority of them didn't even come near the number, if you count all of them, even the number of all those who were at the Trump rally down the street. And the Democrats have been shouting ever since. This was an insurrection. Insurrection. That means an attempt to overthrow the government. Some of them had U.S. flags on poles, which they used against Capitol Police, beating them with them and hitting them, which is wrong. And I didn't like one bit. But the only actual weapon found was a pistol carried by one who was arrested, never displayed, certainly never fired. How are you going to overthrow the government if you're just going to have a lot of people yelling and shouting going down the hallways? Now, what they did, I still will condemn. As they battled through police, that was the first thing. You can go out there and shout and yell all you want, but when you start battling the police, I put you in the same league. Now, some of you are not going to like this, but that's just tough. If you're going to battle against police, yeah, I put you in the same league as Antifa and the rest of them that want anarchy in this nation. That you don't want law and order. We're going to get in that law and order issue a little bit later with Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana. But this January 6th inquiry, while they're focusing everything on what happened on the Capitol on that date, and I'll remind you again, That day I told you, this is going to be used against conservatives for a long time to come. So Pelosi then decides that she didn't want two of the members that McCarthy appointed to the committee. His decision to who goes, and that would be Congressman Jordan of Ohio and Congressman Banks of Indiana, both Republicans, both Trump supporters, as if the other side doesn't have anti-Trump supporters. So Pelosi pointed out, well, you know, we want bipartisan because I'm going to pick Liz Cheney, Republican in Wyoming, as I oust Jordan and Banks. She's picking Cheney. And you heard Cheney in that clip from Fox News say, you know, I don't know why McCarthy has done what he did. She knows why he did it, because he's trying to say we want it to be fair. Cheney's not really going to be bipartisan. She's already made it clear. In fact, everybody's going to be on there right now. The Democrat side, even Cheney, they're going to be already. They've got their mind made up. They've already decided it's insurrection. And keep in mind, these are the same ones who are always comparing Trump to Hitler. Oh, yeah. Now, does that sound like they're going to be fair and balanced in their appraisal of what happened? They've already insisted again that Trump is like Hitler. Well, to that point, an MSNBC military analyst, Barry McCaffrey, was being interviewed on Deadline and talking about some of these comments that came out in a new book written by a couple of Washington Post reporters titled, I Alone Can Fix It, Donald J. Trump's Catastrophic Final Year. And quoting Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Mark Milley on his concerns of a possible coup. I mean, they just put it all in there. So in addition to talking about insurrection, a possible coup, which is the same thing, and then, of course, making references in the book, according to the quote, the way Milley was quoted, about referring to Trump was very much like Hitler. Well, to that point, the MSNBC military analyst Barry McCaffrey said, we have to be always cautious when we try to draw parallels and equate anyone to Hitler. Now, just listen.
We ought to be always cautious about the Nazi comparison. You know, Nazis destroyed all of Europe from the Ural Mountains to the Channel. They killed 40 million people. So on the other hand, the Nazi experience in the 1930s is worth looking at and seeing parallels to Trump's basically criminal behavior, ignoring the rule of law. He was actually talking about shooting people, the armed forces, protesters.
Trump said something about shooting protesters, using military forces to shoot people. Is that right? Did you see that anywhere? If he had said that, don't you think that would have been thrown in your face each and every day? They would just roll the tape of Trump saying, we're going to use our armed forces and we're going to shoot protesters. So McCaffrey's just kind of throwing that in there because, again, he's also one of those acceptable and endorsing state-controlled media outlets that they're not really going to challenge anything he says. And the guy just finishes telling you, you should always be cautious about comparing what happened with Hitler to Trump. And again, we've got this book out that the Post writers claim it was kind of going to be a Saturday night massacre in reverse, that Trump and his allies were apparently going to be thinking about taking a coup or other dangerous or illegal measures after the November election, and that had Joint Chiefs Mark Milley concerned that they might actually do so. So between his concern, as it's quoted in the book, and, of course, you've got others saying similar things, McCaffrey, even though this MSNBC military analyst Barry McCaffrey told you you should always be cautious about comparing Trump to Hitler, and you just heard that he did, he does it again.
Nazi Germany in the 1930s was one of the most civilized countries on the face of the earth, the most advanced science and commitment to democracy and the rule of law. And look what happened. So I think the alarm that Mark Milley and the other military leaders, and indeed all of us in public life, we all saw what was happening. Most of this isn't really a surprise to us. This fellow did not buy into the Constitution of the United States, and he was edging toward a coup.
Isn't it amazing how they can stand there in front of you and say, we really shouldn't make a comparison of Trump to Hitler, and then turn right around and do it again anyway? And they do it without even blinking. It is as natural as a snake slithering along the ground. And it's pretty damn comparable. And the book, of course, it's already being praised. It's going to be so good. Early copies have been sent to CNN and NNN, and the Washington Post putting some excerpts in there. So all of that is in play as Pelosi brings this January 6th hearing together to find out the truth about what happened. Let me tell you right now, do not expect any truth to come out of it. Expect more partisan lies and pot shots. And in the meantime, they're ignoring the violence we've had across our nation during the summers and the call for defunding. Senator John Kennedy calls out the Democrats and Biden on that point.
Larry Connors, USA.
The problem that President Biden has is a problem with his party. Not all Democrats, but many Democrats, the whack jobs, truly do believe in defunding the police. They think most cops are racist, apparently even the African-American cops. They think cops are guilty until proven innocent. I've said this before. They think that if a cop has to shoot a bad guy, it's the cop's fault always. But if a bad guy shoots a cop, it's the gun's fault. And the American people see that. And actions have consequences. And when they de-emphasize the importance of the police, crime rises. And that's what's been happening throughout America. And for President Biden to say, "Oh no, I'm not. I've never been a part of that." I mean, you know, Dreamweaver. Let me say it again. If I watch somebody start a fire, and the house is burning down, and I don't call the fire department, I'm morally responsible. And he is, and he knows it.
And he knows it. In the words of Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, responding to what President Biden said in that CNN town hall meeting last night in Ohio, which was a total farce. It was half filled. Of course, I know if you bring that point up, if you try to make a point that was only half filled, they're going to insist, oh, COVID precautions. It's a lie all the way. Nobody really cared about it. And then Biden was almost kissing Don Lemon Fruitcake last night with his words of praise for how Don and CNN are always so truthful and factual. I'll spend some time on that before we wrap up today. Boy, you talk about some goodies. You use a phrase, I'll pass on it. But basically, it was, if you wanted to watch it, if you wanted to have it and watch it and you just wanted a good laugh, you could do it. Biden misstepped so many times anyway last night, in addition to talking about that we're not really interested in defunding police, which is a flat-out lie. And all the Democrats now try and say they're not against defunding. They don't really want to defund police. That's a lie. And, in fact, they know even in their ranks on the far, 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 far left, to be in the AOC and the rest of them, all the money being cut from police budgets already, they were said, that's not enough. When we say defund, we mean get rid of. And John Kennedy, Senator Kennedy, makes an excellent point that you're going to end up paying for it. You, the American public. He did add, President Biden is not telling the truth. Maybe George Washington could not tell a lie, but just about every politician since has mastered the skill. And I don't mean to be ugly, but President Biden has a PhD in it. Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana. Got that accent. I love it. Same thing I do with James Carville. But the Democrats are realizing we've really got to try to remake things. We've got the 2022 come up, and a lot of these Democrats are facing races against Republicans, obviously, and the Republicans are simply playing back their previous words in support for defunding police and such as supporting other things which are not acceptable to the American public, even if you're a staunch Democrat. Because you don't want to go that far left. That means open borders. And there's another issue when you're talking about crime and law and order and much less the disrespect for police. Who wants to be a cop nowadays? And, of course, don't forget that they also want to get rid of ICE and Border Patrol entirely. There's some ranchers pointing out down along the border near El Paso. They're saying, we continue to have numerous break-ins in our homes. Illegal immigrants coming into our homes and, in one case, stealing some firearms. That's what they're telling the sheriff down there in that area. And the sheriff says sometimes they're just trying to find food, water, things continue their journey, but when they start stealing guns, that's a big concern. Yeah, it should be. But we're really not going to get anything out of the Democrats other than let's just try to get through 2022. Coming up, they're also not really speaking out for Cuba, are they? You want to hear James Carafano, heritage expert, on that issue, coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rodler, Rodler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rodler Pest Solutions immediately. Rodler family owned and operated for three generations. If you've never used Rodler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rodler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rodler, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, Rodler Pest Solutions.
Not a yes, sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, 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 thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Glad to have joining us again, James J. Carafano, leading expert in national security, foreign policy with the Heritage Foundation. Welcome aboard again, Jim.
Hey, it is good to be with you.
Well, we've all been watching, of course, what's happening with Cuba, and you and a colleague wrote a piece for The Hill a couple of days ago. It began by saying the Cuban people continue to cry for freedom while the Cuban regime continues to press, harass, arrest protesters, both waiting to see what Washington does next. I don't see Biden doing anything. Your take?
Well, so they just announced that they're going to put some sanctions on some individuals who are responsible for cracking down on demonstrators. Here's what I think is going on here. I have to be honest with you. I think they actually negotiated these sanctions with the Cuban government because I think they're look, on the one hand, there are voters in Florida, and they realize that if they don't do anything to respond to this, they will essentially be walking away from the state, and politically they can't do that. But on the other hand, there's a huge section of their party which is very supportive of the radical regime and oppressive regime in Cuba, and is upset that we're not actually supporting the government. And so what they're doing is trying to find a face-saving measure. So I think they'll sanction some people, and then everybody will jump on MSNBC and say, "Oh, look, see, Biden really does care about human rights." What they're going to quietly do is they will then turn around and do exactly like Obama, and they'll lift all the sanctions and saying we're engaging with Cuba to help the Cuban people, and we'll be right back where we started.
You're exactly right. We're right back to what we've been trying to get away from. That's why Trump walked away from them, because they continued all these abuses. And the same Democrats who cry out about abuse in this nation ignore what's happening in China, North Korea, Russia, and Cuba, and they're the ones who are saying that, you know, well, the Cuban people really want COVID relief. They need shots, or they need food, or they need water.
Right.
I'm sure they might need some of that as well, but they're calling and shouting out freedom while waving USA flags.
Yeah, what this administration is trying to do is not protect American interests, not be the leader of the free world, not be a champion of human rights. I suspect, I mean, it could be wrong because I don't know everything, but I suspect what's going on here is they're trying to figure out how they can still compete for votes in Florida and placate the far left of their movement that actually embraces communism and dictatorial regimes.
And to that extent, Sanders has made very few comments. When he finally got cornered on a moving ambush interview, I'm for the Cuban people, but he's also for the Cuban government. You can't be for both, because the Cuban government is not for the Cuban people. And then you got AOC and the rest of them saying, well, the economic sanctions that Trump put on, that's causing the hardship and the problems. Castro's have had control of the country for 60 plus years.
Yeah, I could not have said it any better. I really couldn't. I mean, what you just described is exactly what's going on here. When they say they're for the Cuban people, they're for the Cuban government, which is the greatest oppressor of the Cuban people. And I can't tell you what a disaster it would be to go back to the Obama policies, because you have to remember, everything in Cuba goes through the fingers of the Cuban government. So any of the money that flows into that country, either the Cuban government gets a cut, or they direct where it goes, or if it goes to help people's subsistence living, that means the Cuban government doesn't have to do anything for them, and they can spend their money on trying to destabilize their neighbors. So we saw under the Obama administration, when we lifted the sanction, how nothing got better in Cuba. Just like we saw in Iran when we did the Iran deal, nothing got better for the Iranian people. This is the cheapest, lamest policy to say that opening up to a dictatorial regime is going to empower the people, because we just know that's not true.
And there are more examples of hypocrisy among them, because you've got Biden now talking about all the people down there don't have any internet, so we can't really get the real story of what's going down there. Maybe we'll put up some balloons and create an internet system for them, while at the same time very happy that big tech in this country is doing exactly what Cuba did, shutting down anybody they don't want to be on their social media.
Yeah, so, you know, even more important than the internet, because the reality is, look, and I think we should do that, because we should demonstrate that the Great Wall of, you know, China or whatever doesn't keep out
right.
freedom of speech.
I agree.
But the reality is very few people in Cuba have internet access and can afford it. Radio Marti, which is, you know, basically getting into the country and talking to the people in ways that was incredibly valuable. But this administration, again, they just give lip service to this. Look, they just said that they're going to be tough on dictators. They just cut a deal with the Germans on this Nord Stream 2, this pipeline in
right.
Europe, which is going to be an enormous benefit to the Russians. And then they created this fig leaf of a way that, oh, yeah, we're going to take care of the Ukrainians or whatever. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, basically the deal is, you know, the Germans are going to buy Chinese solar powers for the Ukrainians. And in response to that, the Germans are going to get rich, the Russians are going to get rich, the Chinese are going to get rich. And I got to tell you, as soon as a bad thing happens, the Russians will throw down on the Ukrainians and the Germans will do nothing. And this administration pretends like they're being tough on the bad guys and they're cutting smart deals. And the reality is they're walking away from the world's problems and they're hoping they don't follow us home.
And
so, you know, in Obama we led from behind. And now we're just phoning it in, and we're just pretending.
And the point you made as we began, that really why, as to why they're doing anything, is because it's become clear to them that if we don't do something and make it appear that we're doing it, we will lose Florida for Democrats for the near foreseeable future.
Right. And that's all they care about. They care about vote. They don't even care about votes. Matter of fact, if you look at their voting reform bill, it's really about taking over control of the voting system,
right?
So they can never really be challenged electorally. They care about power. They care about seizing political power in this country and then using it to turn America into exactly what they want. You know, I can, you know, tell me I'm wrong. I'm not a partisan guy. I don't belong to a political party.
I know you don't.
I vote, but that's it. But you know, but. Tell me that this is not, whether it's critical race theory or other stuff, tell me that these are not just political agendas to take political power. They're not about doing what's best for the American people.
You're listening to James J. Carafano, an expert in national security and foreign policy challenges with the Heritage Foundation. In fact, his most recent publication, Brutal War, a study of the combat in the Southwest Pacific, that came out earlier this year, Brutal War. James, another thing, when I look at Cuba, and Biden has basically open the border, our southern border. We don't have a southern border. And telling Cubans through Secretary of State and others, don't even bother coming to across the water to Florida because you'll be sent back. You should not make that journey across the water. But some Cubans now are realizing, well, let's get to Mexico, then we can come through. And I don't see anybody in this country anxious to swim across shark-infested waters or take a rinky-dinky craft to get to Cuba and say, oh, good, I'm glad I'm in Cuba instead of the USA.
Yeah. I think your point is just pointing out the hypocrisy of this administration, which in almost every case they're suing, their line is, we are working for the American people. But then when you actually look at the policies, whether it's an open border or not standing up for liberty in Cuba or not, you know, dealing with inflation, or their policies aren't for the American people. And even people that vote for them and like them, when you ask, do you like these policies, they're very skeptical. I mean, people may like Joe Biden, but they don't like what Joe Biden is doing to America.
Well, the point, of course, for many asking, is it even Joe Biden doing it? Is this Obama's third term anyway, with all the previous Obama employees inside the Biden administration?
Well, you know, they elected him.
Yeah. Well, we think they did. I mean, I won't go down that road entirely with you. We'll save that for another day. Very quickly, though, I do want to spend just the last minute here. I mentioned your recent publication, Brutal War, Study of Combat in the Southwest Pacific. You're focused, obviously, at that point, I assume, on World War II and our efforts in that area.
Yeah, but a lot of people think I'm talking about, you know, Pelosi and Schumer, but no, it's actually I spent 25 years in the Army, and my PhD's in history, and I love history, and I still think it has lessons to teach us. And the fact that we're many of the places that we fought the Japanese in World War II, where we're competing with the Chinese today, these you know, places matter to what you can and can't do in the Pacific. So I think there's so much value in history. So I force myself to do real work, but not that Heritage isn't real work. But actually, it's the fun work. I love military history. So, but, you know, that was some of the, actually, that battle that's in, they talk about in the book is some of the worst, not just the worst fighting in World War II, but the worst fighting that humans have ever endured. I mean, even worse than kind of life in the trenches during World War I. It's just incredibly brutal. So it's fascinating to write about and really interesting. And I do think there's a lot of lessons learned there that we can draw from history.
I look forward to getting a copy of it. It is titled Brutal War, James Carafano, A Study of Combat in the Southwest Pacific. Jim, as always, we thank you for your time, and we'll do it again, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
You bet. James J. Carafano, Heritage Foundation. Yeah, I'm interested very much so in seeing that book. The Southwest Pacific battles, in many cases involve Marines. Obviously, I have an interest there, and I know many of you will as well. Speaking of books, Democrats are realizing they can make money selling books, even if it's just a coloring book. We already know that. But their target being kids, and target being kids for CRT training, critical race theory. And you should be glad to hear that we've got parents that are fighting back, and now even the Biden administration is beginning to backpedal. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
If you want great Italian food, there's only one choice. Well, wait a minute. There are really three choices, but all of them are Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Visit any of them. Visit all of them. Cafe Napoli, family owned since 1989. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. Summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And they've woken up a sleeping dragon because, you know, they say that they don't, you know, that they want to be feared. Well, I mean, parents who are waking up to this and this crazy ideology that they're injecting into the school system, you know, will always stand up and fight for their kids. Yes, more parents are standing up and doing the same, you know, by the example that we've tried to set. But, you know, not everybody's able to. You know, there's teachers, there's, you know, school administrators that are too afraid to sign, you know, a recall petition for school board members. They're too afraid of retribution and retaliation. This is exactly why. Because you stand up and they just try to tear you down and silence you.
Yes, and silence you. Those are the words of Jessica Mendez. She is a parent with children in the Loudoun County, Virginia school district, where they've been putting up a big fight against CRT. Now, of course, those who are fearful of you making too much noise over there now trying to say, well, CRT is not being taught, and yet we've had several educators say, yeah, it is. And in fact, we've been to seminars where we're told that we have to learn how to do it. And we also have folks saying we're doing it in the military as well. And then they will say, well, CRT is being misidentified by the conservatives. It is not meant to diminish people and divide them or the nation. Oh, that's a lie. It is. The whole idea of CRT is that you teach children starting in grade school that color, your color says everything about you and not only your current situation, but your abilities and your potential. That's why parents are beginning to fight back, and black, white, yellow, all parents are fighting back, and many, I shouldn't say all, but many who are concerned realizing this is not good. But as you also heard Menendez say too many times, then those parents get targeted. And the same thing with teachers. Teachers that want to come out and try to fight against it, they end up being impacted and attacked as well. And then, of course, we have this thing with the Biden administration suddenly yesterday trying to back away. They had put on a reading group for a document from the White House, a roadmap to reopening safely and meeting all students' needs. They put on there a list of reading. One of them, even though the Biden administration has insisted we're not going to do that, that got put on by mistake, included basically the Abolitionist Teaching Network's guide, quote, for racial justice and abolitionist social and emotional learning, stating that abolitionist teachers should build a school culture that deals or engages in healing and advocacy. healing I'm for, but advocacy, I'm not the way they're trying to do it, because then it continues saying this requires a commitment to learning from students, families, and educators who disrupt whiteness and other forms of oppression. And the guide calls for removing any and all police and policing from schools and reparations for children of color stolen by the school-to-prison pipeline. And in some cases, not to grade students of color as harshly at the same, I should say, as you do the white students. That does not give the black minority students of whatever color a better education. That penalizes them. And the Biden administration saying, you know, that got on that list simply by a mistake. It just kind of, you know, somewhere along the line, somebody ended up making a little mistake, and that's how it got on there. That's what they're saying, howsomever. Jessica Mendez, as I told you, the parent with the children in Loudoun County, Virginia, fighting against CRT, says, we're supposed to believe it was a mistake?
You don't just make a mistake like that. I think they are expecting us just to sit back and do nothing, or go back and be silent like we were before and not be involved. And that is what they're counting on, you know, but not all parents can afford private schools or are not able to homeschool. You know, we need to build the trust back in the public education system.
Yeah, what they're doing now from the White House, the Education Secretary Cardona trying to back away from requiring applicants for American History and Civics grants to be linked to projects involving CRT or the 1619 Project. Cardona, in a blog post today, he also wrote the American History and Civics grant program, said, I have not, will not dictate or recommend specific curriculum be introduced and taught in classrooms. Those decisions are and will continue to be made at the local level. That's what they say when they get caught with their hand in the cookie jar. Hey, this story is still breaking. It started about an hour ago. A widespread internet outage hitting multiple companies such as Amazon, Google, Verizon, Delta, HBO, AT&T, FedEx, Southwest, and more. What's there? An accident or hacking? We have that coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.